For entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies, anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhooliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon.
जो भी चाहो वो मैं पाऊं जिंदगी में जीते जाऊं चांद तारे तोड़ लाऊं सारी दुनिया पर मैं छाऊं बस इतना सा ख्वाब है बस इतना सा ख्वाब है
सपने सलामत दोस्तों, वेलकम बैक. इट इज सैटरडे, इट इज नून, एंड इट इज टाइम टू स्टार्ट रीलिविंग दोज ड्रीम्स. यू आर नाउ लिसनिंग टू सपने सलामत ऑन KLOK 1170. वेलकम टू अनदर एपिसोड. दिस इज अ शो दैट्स डेडिकेटेड टू एनीवन विद अ ड्रीम. दिस इज अ शो फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, फॉर ड्रीमर्स, फॉर इन्वेस्टर्स, फॉर टेक्निकल पीपल एंड नॉन टेक्निकल पीपल, एनीवन एंड एवरीवन दैट हैज अ ड्रीम. सो फोक्स, दिस इज अ नॉन कमर्शियल शो. नो मनी हैज बीन पेड, नो मनी हैज बीन रिसीव फॉर एनीबडी टू मेक एन अपीयरेंस ऑन टुडेज एपिसोड. The singular mission of this show is to promote entrepreneurship to help you realize your dreams. So today we are going to be joined by a fantastic guest who's going to be coming to the studios in a few minutes here. This is a gentleman who has come out and is going to share his story of a horrific VC experience. We've had some fantastic VCs. We had Prashant Shah last week, who's a fantastic VC from Hummer Winblad. But I think it takes all kinds to make this world. And more often than not, folks are a little trepidant or afraid to go out and share these bad stories. So we're going to try and share what really goes on, what are the gotchas, how things can go bad, and what you have to watch out and so you can protect your own interests. So the entire idea behind hearing his story is to help you learn so that you don't make mistakes. I think a little bit of today's show is going to be focused for a slightly more sophisticated entrepreneur out there. So I would definitely encourage you to please pay close attention. We're going to talk about a lot of technical stuff, and we're going to talk about all kinds of things in terms of what kinds of corporate games go on and how business is really conducted and why it is such a hard piece of work. I think people, it's not as simple as coming up with an idea and saying, okay, here's an idea, build a company, go sell it for $1 billion. There's a lot of heart pain and sweat, blood, and tears that goes into it. And it's not always that people come out winning. They oftentimes end up devoting 5-10 years of their life, and at the end of it have nothing from a financial standpoint to show for it. So this is a sort of a reality check, if you will. All right, before Ravi comes onto the show, I also wanted to mention a couple of other things. We do get a lot of mentoring requests, so folks, please ask your questions on the air as much as possible. Don't be afraid. A lot of the questions that I get for mentoring requests are repetitive questions where people have the same questions. How do I patent? What is a patent? How do I incorporate? Do I do California? Do I do Delaware? You know, how does one get started? How do I build a team? How do I get co-founders? So for all of those things, please call in, because if you're going to start a company, you will need the confidence to come out and be able to talk to people. And of course, we will not talk about anything that is confidential to your business on the air. So we will certainly respect that confidentiality, if you will. Also, folks, we also get a lot of folks that are interested in startups. I would highly encourage you to go join our mailing list. If you are looking for co-founders, if you're looking for technical folks, if you're looking for marketing folks or biz dev people, or you are one of those, go ahead and join our mailing list. You can join our mailing list at rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. As usual, if you have a question, we'll try to answer your question as best as we can. The phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. And if there's anything that we cannot answer, I will definitely make my best effort to defer it to somebody that can, and we will get that question answered. As usual, folks, when you call in, please, 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 please remember to turn your radios down. All right. Last week, we had Prashant Shah on the show, who's a venture capitalist from Hubbub and Blad, and we talked about Venture Capital 101 from the entrepreneur standpoint again, where we basically talked about what are the kinds of questions you want to ask the VC when you're trying to vet them out. And I think the questions are sort of in line with which fund are you on to show their track record, how much money has been invested in the current fund, how much money do you have reserved for this particular investment if you choose to make this investment. So those are really pertinent questions. And of course, you do want to go to references and all of that good stuff of past entrepreneurs that they've worked with. Also in the past, we've talked about all kinds of interesting things relating to living out your dreams and entrepreneurship. We've talked about how to raise money. We've done the anatomy of a startup. We've talked about viral marketing. We've talked about how to create buzz for your company. And we've had a whole bunch of celebrity guests, serial entrepreneurs, professors of entrepreneurship, presidents of entrepreneurial organizations, and all fantastic speakers, honestly. So you can always check out podcasts or archives of past shows at rohit.com/radio. That's again, rohit.com/radio. As usual, folks, I've made mistakes before. I'm sure I'm going to make some more mistakes in the future. So feel free to challenge me. And we've got another fantastic set of upcoming guests coming up. But before I get into the upcoming guests, I do want to dive in and invite Ravi to come into the studios. So, Ravi, welcome to the studios.
Thank you, Rohit.
Real pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming out on a Saturday afternoon, and thank you so much for being willing to share your story.
Anytime.
Yes, no, I think, so I'm taking this on with a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of trepidation, because I think this is a subject matter that most people are afraid to talk of, and everybody says it's a really small valley. And I think as part of the valley being small, it's also a small valley for the venture community where entrepreneurs should be able to come out and bear their stories. So I'm for the benefit of my listeners, I'm just going to say at this point that Ravi started a company about 10 years ago, and they raised about $40 million in venture capital. And that's sort of the highlight, and we'll come back to that story. But I want to start at the outset to say who Ravi is, and we'll quickly do a recap of why Ravi is here. So you are from where are you from, Ravi? You grew up in India?
Yeah, I grew up in India, graduated from Delhi College of Engineering.
Yeah, right on, dude. That's almost like my alma mater, right?
Yeah. And then I did my master's at Lehigh University.
Yeah.
Came to the Valley in 1988, and I've been here since then.
Okay.
I worked at Oracle Corporation briefly.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I started my company. The first company that I started was Simplify.
Uh-huh.
And
that was in 97, right?
That was in 97, yes.
Okay. And you did this with a co-founder that you met at Oracle.
Correct. Okay. Both of us, we started a company. It was more of taking on turnkey implementations of Oracle ERP systems.
Uh-huh.
And our goal was at that point to challenge the Big Six.
Oh, wow.
For lack of anything better.
And how many of the Big Six are left now?
Well, there are four. But I think we were able to do some pretty interesting things in the Valley at that point. And then after that, I went on to, you know, we formed AppShop, which is like a follow-on.
So this company that you started in 97 was called Simplify.
Correct.
Okay. And what happened with Simplify? You were building Oracle applications?
No, we were in the deployment mode. We
okay.
would help companies implement it.
Uh-huh.
And then around 2000 timeframe, we started AppShop as a follow-on company.
Okay.
Which was more on the infrastructure side.
How did that come about?
Well, literally sitting under a tree outside, which we consider our conference room. So that's exactly how it happened. And one of the things that motivated us was to make sure that we had ongoing customer interactions and making sure that we have a continuous revenue stream. So we found that providing a turnkey solution, from start to end is really what customers wanted. And that's where we got in.
And what kind of revenues was Simplify making at that point?
We were in a few million dollars. It's a small
okay,
company,
so
literally.
Yeah, so you weren't that poor at that point.
I wouldn't say poor. I mean, life was comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But, actually when we were growing Simplify and before AppShop came into being or just about the time, we had many offers to buy out Simplify.
Oh, really?
Because we were a real pain for some of the big six at that point, you know, like the KPMGs and the Arthur Andersons, and they did put out an
offer.
That's
a good position to be in.
It was, but, you know, when we looked at the whole managed infrastructure side, we were talking from a few million dollars worth to a few billion, you know.
Yeah.
So that distorted our perspective
yes,
a little bit.
Yes, understandably, understandably. All right, so you decided to start a new company called AppShop, and this is what, in the year 2000?
Correct.
And what was AppShop going to be doing?
AppShop was going to be in the managed services business, so literally hosting data centers, turnkey applications and deployment, managing it through the whole life cycle.
Interesting. And so you folded Simplify into AppShop. Is that what happened?
Yeah, technically, after the venture guys put in the money.
Oh, wait, there was venture money in there?
Yes.
Detail. Okay, tell me about that.
So when we created AppShop, we created it in the beginning and we're running hard. One of our customers, actually quite a few of our customers actually said, why don't you guys raise some venture money? This is in the heydays of, you know, 99 and 2000.
The dot-com day hits.
Yeah, and we had no experience, okay? We never knew how to raise venture money, but our customers helped us out, saying, go and why don't you guys approach it and build it in something big? And part of the thing was Simplify was a services company.
Yeah.
And at that time, services companies had this kind of negative connotation, if you will, in terms of multiplier effect.
Which they still do, don't they?
Well, it's fashionable now.
I don't know, Ravi. I still think the services companies have a multiplier as opposed to product companies that have an exponential. But sort of moot point. Continue, please.
So anyway, we knew for the solution to work, you can't just have a hosted service alone.
Yeah.
It's the complete life cycle.
Yeah.
And so the guys who put in the venture money at that point understood our story, and they really said that's the right thing to do.
So how much money did you raise?
We raised about slightly shy of $17 million.
$17 million, that was your A round?
Yeah, but we had significant revenues too.
What kind of significant revenues?
Well, we were, you know, on target to do $18 million.
Oh my goodness. With $18 million in revenue, you were still raising outside money and you raised $17 million. So you must have got a whooping nice valuation.
We did.
Probably like 45, 50,
Something around there. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We'll let it be at that. So $17 million, and who put in $17 million?
It was a consortium of venture capital being led by Menlo Ventures. The second guys were Eldorado, Osprey Ventures, RSA Ventures.
Okay, so you had Menlo Ventures in there, you had Eldorado Ventures in there, you had RSA Ventures in there, and Osprey Ventures. I don't think I've ever heard of Osprey.
They're a small firm out of Palo Alto. Everybody gets in for the ride.
Yeah.
So, but Menlo led the round.
Okay, and so you raised $17 million, and now what happens?
So
we're talking the year 2000 still, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And now what happens?
And so, you know, we go through the typical learning process. We made our mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, in order to grow revenue, we hire people, marketing, the whole works.
Yeah.
Increasing office space. Actually, we were just bursting through the seam and, you know, we needed some of the capital.
How many people, headcount?
Well, when we raised the venture money, I think we were like, what, about 70 people? Maybe...
No, I'm sorry.
It was less. It was less than that. It was more like about 50 people.
Okay.
We were just exploding. I mean, literally every day we would turn around.
And this was completely bootstrapped at this point.
Correct.
And you infused $17 million into the company in one tranche, presumably?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, it looked good. You know, the big check.
I know. It looks fabulous. There's a lot I could do with $17 million. I'm curious to find out what you did with those $17
million. Well, actually, the checks were in my car. And I thought we were thinking, if only my car gets stolen, it's worth more than the car.
Yeah. Probably worth more than the dealership itself. But besides the point. Okay. So you started growing the company with 17 million added people, started growing revenues. Now, prior you said were 18 million. So what did you do in the first year?
No, we were less than 18. We with the venture money, then we did 18 million the first year. So
okay.
FabShop. Yes.
Okay, lovely.
So, but still, I think we were pretty credible. We were doing somewhere sub 10 million in revenues already prior.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And now what happens? So you add on more people, add on more execs?
We add on the whole thing, you know, CFO and... VP of this and a VP of that.
Yeah.
And so everybody wants to come in. But we did have a healthy growth. I mean, we were just bursting through the seams, literally signing.
But did you have business that was supporting that?
Yes. We were close to profitability. In fact, most of the revenue, you know, the thing that really, the monies that we used was for putting down data centers, which is like capital intensive.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We're going to come back and keep talking to Ravi Kulasekaran.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically I have to go through several pages. And on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically behind the scenes saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this. It's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web. Go Rohit.
Hey, Bibi, did you go through all those articles I sent you yesterday?
Itne sare kaam, ghar ka kaam karu, beti ka homework karau, kya kya karu, kab padhu?
They were important articles. Some on the school, the company, the community. You need to go through those.
Those are such long articles. Don't send me anything unless you highlight it.
Highlight it?
Do you not know about Rohit? Use Rohit and highlight.
Oh, maaf kijiye bhai. Main next time karta hoon.
Rohit is a free, no sign up, no download web tool that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Rohit.com.
If you want me to read it, use Rohit.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
If you like our show, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon every Saturday on 1170 AM KLOK. In fact, you can even blog about this show, and if you work for a company such as Oracle, Sun, Google, Microsoft, or Intel, please send out a company-wide email on your Dacy email alias about our show. Sacramento, home for rent in Sacramento. A completely remodeled, brand-new, two-bedroom, split-level townhome has central heat and air conditioning and is beautifully maintained, and it shows. If you see it, you will love it. Call 916-674-2540 to schedule a time to see it. Modesto, also a home for rent in Modesto. A totally remodeled, huge and spacious, three-bedroom, single-family home with a huge front and backyard. New carpets, new shower tub, and lots of other upgrades. Mention this ad and get $100 off your first month's rent. If you see it, you're going to love it. Call 916-674-2540 to schedule a time to see it.
Hello.
Haan, bolo.
Haan, ghar aa rahe ho.
Yeah, haan. 5 minutes mein nikal raha hoon.
Okay. Oh, haan. I read all the articles you sent me, or at least the highlights. I also made some of my own and send them back to you.
Oh, great. Finally, now we're communicating on the same page, thanks to Rohit.
Okay, to fir milte hain.
Haan, aur kuch kaam?
Bas, grocery jana mat bhulna, nahi to mujhe wo bhi highlight karna padega, Rohit ke saath.
Theek hai, chalo milte hain.
Rohit is a free web tool that saves all your highlights for you on the web. You can take any of your highlights, combine them and see the underlying pages all highlighted together as one single page. It's beautiful. Rohit.com. Rohit, if you don't want to lose it, use Rohit.
All right, and now let's get back to our show where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and has prosecuted close to a dozen patents individually. His personalized URL patent is today in use by hundreds of millions of users. Yes, hundreds of millions of users who are using an invention that was personally patented by Rohit.
Ta
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, dosto. To all those who find my greeting of Sapne Salamat peculiar, I'd like to share that I believe the first step towards achieving any goal is to dream. And it's only the pursuit of those dreams that will drive you to success. So, apne sapno ko salamat rakhein, kahin khone na dein. And today we are talking with Ravi Kulasekaran, who raised $17 million in his A round for his company called AppShop. You had an option pool of, I take it, what, about 15%, presumably, somewhere around that?
Correct. We wanted to make sure that every employee had stock options.
Okay, lovely. And you went ahead and did a follow-on round of funding subsequent to that?
Yes, we did a Series B, and we were kind of forced to raise it because of the massive expansion. Whose
idea was the massive expansion, by the way?
We were just growing. I mean, we had to do that.
Okay, so you were guilty of it as well.
I mean, it's a heady rush, but also, you know, you want to make sure that you're growing in revenues, you're a successful company, the board is egging you on.
Okay.
So it's a go, go, go.
Okay, very good, very good. And you raised a second round of how much did you raise?
$15 million.
$15 million. So that's about $32 million raised so far.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a lot of money. Now what happens?
When we did the second round, in fact, we were one of the few companies that closed a round right after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
So
those were very, very tough times to close the round. And so you did this, what, October 2001, November 2001?
Correct, correct.
Wow.
So it was
so you really had a good story for them to be able to continue to close the rounds, because a lot of term sheets that had already been put out there were getting pulled at that point in time.
Correct. I think we were doing pretty well. Things were going okay. We had a solid business. It's not like a funky dot-com business. I mean, it was honest to goodness.
Okay. And so now what happens? So you did pull a second round, and now what happens?
We are not immune to the business environment as the rest of the world is, right?
Uh-huh.
So when a lot of the customers, they started having problems, they were cutting back. Some of the companies were dying because of the dot-com bust or, you know, 2001 bust, you know.
Right.
And that started affecting us. We wanted to work with our customers that existed, and they were trying to cut back. They were trying to get out of their contracts. So it was something that started affecting us too.
Okay.
But we had a very conflicting thing. Here we get the VC guys trying to tell us to keep increasing top line.
Yeah.
Because they want to see a IPO type of exit.
Right.
And it's very hard to do that when the environment is not conducive.
Okay.
And so we were like, you know, trying to grow infrastructure. Arthur Andersen imploded. So we thought maybe we can hire a few guys from Arthur Andersen, top guys.
Yeah.
And they could, you know, help bring some of the business. But unfortunately, you know, some of those bets didn't pan out.
Okay. So you hired a couple of guys from Arthur Andersen because Arthur Andersen imploded subsequent to the Enron fiasco.
Yeah.
And you picked up a couple of good guys from there and you brought these guys
I don't know about the good guys. We ended up picking a real bad one too.
Okay. All right. So you brought on somebody that you thought were good guys.
Yeah.
And you and sort of entrusted them with growing revenues. And how did that play out?
In the beginning, there's a lot more spin and sell by the Arthur Andersen guys that
yeah.
came on board.
Yeah.
Some of them are good guys. And then, so, you know, some just patently, the ones that were responsible for growing revenue absolutely failed us.
They did. So
yes.
Now what happens when they fail you? Do you fire them?
We were about to.
Okay.
And then in the process, we got fired.
Oh, wow. Okay, explain. Now, this is where things get interesting. So you and your partner are the founders of a company. You presumably own the majority of the company at this point, or close to it. No, actually, no, you probably don't. You've done two rounds of funding, so you probably own about 40%, give or take.
Not all of it, because it's a company owned. Every employee owns a part of the company.
Okay.
So we still had the founders had a reasonable chunk.
Okay. And so you get fired. How does that happen? How does the founder get fired? I mean, this is your baby.
That's something which we also were bewildered, you know. We get called to the VC guy's office, and they said, gentlemen, we don't need your services anymore.
Wait, rewind. So you get called and they say, we don't need your services anymore. But you were the CEO of the company. Your partner was the president of the company. You're both sitting on the board of directors. If the president and CEO are to be fired, doesn't the board have to convene and make that call that we're going to fire these two guys? And if, in that capacity, you do need to be on the board when the decision is made.
Well, the board is stacked with all the VC guys on the other side. So they'd done a parallel meeting on the back end.
Oh, so there was a parallel meeting of the board of directors that happened minus two of the directors.
Correct.
Is that even legal?
I don't know. But to me, that sounds borderline.
Wow. I don't know either. I'm curious if that's legal. Okay. This is when the story is getting interesting and the phone lines are already lighting up over here. Okay. I'm going to try and grab one or maybe two calls real quick and we'll go and see if we can take something real quick.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapne Salamat, this is Salim. Rohit
Sapne
ji.
Salamat, caller, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit ji, this is Salim. Can you hear me?
Yes, Salim, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay, now I have a comment on your program.
Yes, Salim.
Okay, Sapne Salamat means your sapnes are always sapnes. Okay, so the when your sapna...
You know what, Salim? I think I'm going to do another show where we're going to talk about the name of the show. We've gotten so much interest and so many comments on Sapne Salamat that I'm going to hold off on this until we do that show. But thank you for calling. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello.
Yes, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Anji, baray wo mortgage baray karni si gal baat koi.
Okay. Sorry, this is not about mortgage. We're talking about entrepreneurship. Back to Ravi Kulasekaran. So, Ravi, so now what happens? So two minus two board of directors, you guys get called in and you get told fired.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going through your heads?
See, the thing is, we had a bad quarter. I mean, with all the revenues, you know, we were having some problems because a couple of our customers, they filed for bankruptcy.
Okay.
And so, yes, I mean, ultimately the revenues for the quarter failed and we had a huge cost structure because we inherited all these Arthur Anderson and other big six guys.
Okay.
So part of the thing is, you know, we wanted to go back and say, okay, we're going to take some corrective action and we promised a plan. But in the interim, before we could even put a plan together, we had the VC guys call us into the office and pretty much tell us, you know, you guys are out.
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second and say that, you know, fine, you guys didn't perform, you need to be fired. But what I'm still grappling with is how does a board make a decision about firing two board members without them being present? Because you sort of have dual capacity at this point. As president, you're an employee of the company. As CEO, you're an employee of the company. At the same time, as the board of directors, you have a fiduciary responsibility to all shareholders.
Correct.
And, okay, I'm a little bit nonplussed about that.
Just as most entrepreneurs, we were fairly naive. I mean, you don't know what's going on behind your back.
See, that's a very insightful comment you make right there. If you're talking to somebody who's built a company, who's ran a company for 10 years, who's raised like $32 million, and you still consider yourself naive when it comes to these things.
Absolutely. I mean, most of us are doing this for the first time. We're not like, know this in and out. And that's why I'm here to share some of my experiences so that the other entrepreneurs out there can, you know, short-circuit some of the learning curve that we had to go through.
Okay, so in order to short-circuit this, let's speed it up. So you get fired now. Now what happens?
We're still on the board. They can't fire us. So the presumably, see, the thing is, we don't...
I'm going to sort of do a quick rewind. So you get fired, do you get a severance, do you get an acceleration? What happens? Because you have an employment contract, presumably, right?
Yeah, we had an employment contract, but, you know, we were naive enough not to negotiate for a harder employment contract when the venture money came in.
So that's one of the learnings from this experience is that when you are raising venture money, you need to negotiate for a better employment contract.
Correct.
What are the kinds of things that need to go into that employment contract?
Typically, how much you'll get paid out for duration, what will you get paid out for, whether your medical will be covered, whether you can keep your equipment that you want, what about your stock option accelerations. The other part of it is...
But there's standard forms that do this stuff, right?
It's not. There's nothing standard. It's all legalese that you have to literally wade through a ton of paper. You have to be careful to ask.
Yeah, so then you must have had your own lawyers.
Not really. Because the guy that you know, you're hiring the lawyers for the company.
I think where I'm basically trying to lead you with this is the fact that when you have lawyers, they're corporate lawyers, they represent the company, and entrepreneurs need to have their own lawyers when they're getting into these employment contracts. Because at that point, the interest of the company may not match up exactly with the interest of you as an individual.
That's exactly what we found too. I wish we had the lawyers. And the problem is the guys that we knew were the representing the company. And so they cannot entertain our personal opinion.
Well, they can entertain your personal opinion, but they don't have your interest.
They don't have our interest. They will not represent us.
So what I'm trying to do is, as we go through this process, if you would just share the nuggets to say that, okay, one, get an employment contract, entrepreneurs. Two, get your own representation because your corporate attorney is not the guy who's going to be representing you.
And probably maybe work in something where the company pays for you to hire your own legal counsel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If they let go.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The other part that we made a mistake was we didn't ask for stock options after they put in the money.
But you already had options. Why should you ask for more options?
Well, that's a mistake that we made. If you think about it, if somebody came in and that's what happened to the replacement, okay? Yeah. They're given new options, which diluted us anyway. And so we basically ended up working for the salary.
Okay, we'll have to get into more meat on that, but I'm going to take this one call real quick and we have to take a break. My producer signaling over here. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salam, this is Gobi calling you the topic you were discussing.
Yes, Gobi.
Yes, the board can fire the CEO and president.
Correct.
As long as the chairman and a few members, the majority of the board decides to do it. And most of the time, the startup company, the majority is owned by VCs anyway. So first thing is, if you own majority of the shares, never give out majority of the board to VCs, which if you take VC money, they will not agree with you.
Right, right. But
so
I guess
it's a catch-22 issue.
Right.
And second, if you promise something, promise less and deliver more. Never promise more and deliver less. That's the rule number one for startup companies. Most of the time, startup company, we are very enthusiastic. We promise the sky, but we can't deliver even the floor. So they look at the – and also the VCs have a formula. Every 2 years, they look at their investment and say, is it going to fruit, come to returns this year or next year? If it doesn't return come in within that year – they may say, okay, you know what, we need to get rid of it.
Yeah. All right.
And in order to get rid of it, they might need to get rid of the CEO who they will have to put their own board to liquidate the company very quickly because CEO has a heart in their technology or product or whichever he's doing. So he's so close to it, he can't be trusted.
Yeah. So, Gobi, I don't know what your background is, but I'm going to ask you this question anyways. Obviously, CEOs get fired routinely, and obviously it's the board that fires the CEO, and in my opinion, that's the way it needs to work any which way. Question that I'm sort of struggling in my mind is for the board to meet. Now, the CEO does need to be part of that meeting.
Not necessarily. The board can meet themselves behind the thing and come to a conclusion.
I see.
And present it in a board meeting. There is no need to discuss it in a board, especially if it is involved the CEO or even chairman of the board. Because they are all involved, they may not like to discuss in a board meeting. But the decision can be stated in the board meeting.
Okay. So the question then is, I'm going to create a hypothetical scenario of a three-person board where there is one person who is the CEO, the other guy who is the president, and the third guy is the board member who's an outside director or investor.
Who has the majority of the voting power?
The voting power is sort of distributed across all three entities.
No. It is who is the majority of the voting power. If you own the stock, majority stock, let's say the VC is
actually, I think you're making a good point, but at the same time, you're missing a good point, which comes down to where you're incorporated. For example, Delaware or California, and different states have different laws in terms of which class has how much voting power.
Yeah, and also you know that if the board decides to fire you, you can fight the board, but it's only losing if the money guy decides to fire you. You should be in a position, strong position, to go get the money guy fired. That's very, very rarely happened because once the money guy, you want to fire the money guys are like, though they fight among each other, it's like a club.
Okay.
They will never like their club member to be fired by another outsider who is not the money guy. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. That's exactly what happened is a bunch of VC guys colluded.
Yeah. The VC guy's objective is very simple. They have money in, money out. They don't give a damn about what you do. That what you do is your passion. They use your passion, your brain, your ideas, but they want to make money out of it. That's their objective. If you are ready for that objective, that's only you took the money. They have all kinds of ways to make this work. When you sign a paper, they say standard format. Standard formats include how they could fire you, and everything is written because only to their advantage.
Okay. That's exactly my point. I mean, it's kind of an uneven barter.
It is always uneven, mainly because you are going there for money. And they
I beg to differ with that with you, Gopi. Gopi, the reason is it's a two-way process. The VC guys can be sitting on their money and they won't get anything unless there's an idea and a team to execute on it.
No. The VC guys get 1,000 ideas a month.
But I beg to differ. That's a fallacy. Because
idea is only one idea. You are going after 10 VCs where they have 1,000 guys coming to them. See, you have to look at the ratio of the people who come after money versus money guys going after. It's very rare money guys will go after unless they have a proven track record like Yahoo guy starting a company or a Google guy now leaves and starting a company.
No, but look at the number of guys trolling for, you know, entrepreneurs with good ideas. I mean, the VC guys are in each.
They always say that. But bottom line is very simple. If you take a, let's say you take biotech companies, which VC companies which are involved in biotech.
Yeah, Gopi.
There are 1,000 ideas go into them.
Yeah.
They can select. Whereas one biotech company can go only into 10 VC guys. And by the way, the VC guys are all connected. They are already networked. So once you go into one VC guy, kind of input already gone to other guys.
Yeah. Well, it makes an interesting point. I'd love to continue talking, but I've got my switchboard lit up over there and a producer who's signaling frantically that we need to go on a break.
Good.
But keep listening and please keep calling in.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is Gopi from Sunnyvale.
Gopi, thank you so much.
Bye.
Did you get my email?
Oh, on the project?
Yeah, you know the project that's due next Friday? I'm going to highlight the first 5 articles. Kathy's going to do the next 5. And can you get to the last 5?
Sounds good. I'll get on them. I'm going to do all my highlights in yellow. And can you use pink?
Yeah, then we can just combine all the highlights to create our final report.
Sure. Thanks, Ina. Will do.
Sharing your research has never been easier. Use Rohit.com. ROOHIT.com.
To advertise on this show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. Folks, it's not without reason that advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising every single year. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@rohit.com. That's find us on the web at rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com.
Hey, Bibi, did you go through all those articles I sent you yesterday?
Itne sare kaam, ghar ka kaam karun, beti ka homework karaun, kya kya karun, kab padhun?
They were important articles, some on the school, the company, the community. You need to go through those.
Those are such long articles. Don't send me anything unless you highlight it.
Highlight it?
Do you not know about Rohit? Use Rohit and highlight.
Oh, maaf kijiye bhai. Main next time karta hoon.
Rohit is a free, no sign up, no download web tool that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. ROOHIT.com.
If you want me to read it, use Rohit.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Do you ever search for information on the web? Do you ever use Yahoo or Google or any other search engine? Well, guess what? Every time you search, there's only parts of certain pages that are of interest to you. Use Rohit.com to highlight the parts that are of interest to you, and everything that you highlight is automatically saved and collected for you. See all of your web research consolidated in one place. Rohit.com is a no sign up, no joining, free, no download service. Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek. And it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved and collected for you. And so are the underlying pages. Really. And don't worry, at Rohit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or register for our service. And we certainly don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever. If you'd like to reach a large audience of engineers, technical people, marketing people, biz dev folks, PR people, this is the show to advertise on. You can reach us at 408-469-4192 or on radio@rohit.com.
And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing and started several companies in Silicon Valley. and he's a prolific inventor.
Sapne Salamat, welcome back, dosto. We are talking about a horrific VC story, but we haven't even gotten to the guts of it, so I'm going to try and pick up the pace here before we completely run out of time. So Ravi, you and your partner got fired, new CEO comes into place, now what happens?
Well, it would have been good if they had picked a person who's a better person than us as a CEO, rather than the guy who's the problem. But basically, here's a new CEO who's running the company to the ground.
Now, as I recall, the company was not doing badly because sales were hurting, and the VP sales is now is the person who now becomes the new CEO?
Right.
Okay.
So it's really strange. I mean, here's a guy who's running the company down even further, and the VCs are turning a blind eye.
Okay.
Despite being shown all the numbers quarter after quarter, they just turn a blind eye to this.
Okay.
So they're not really doing the fiduciary responsibility to the company.
Okay.
They're letting the company bleed through. And I don't know, maybe the ulterior motive was to bleed the company and then, you know, be the saviors by doing a restart on the company because it had significant revenues,
okay,
recurring revenue.
So at this point, you're out of the operational role, but you're still on the board. And how? What are the board meetings like?
Oh, it's acrimonious. Every board meeting is just acrimonious. Yeah. And it's the VC guys on one side, the two founders on the other side, and a neutral member then later on started siding with us.
Okay.
And so every board, but he was kind of neutral. He was not really taking it on.
And this was also an outside director or a VC? Or?
No, he was a former entrepreneur himself.
Okay.
But then the VC guys, when they fired us, also did an insidious thing to say, well, let's bring in an established chairman of the board to oversee the CEO. And
okay.
They sold us on the story.
Okay.
And so now we get a guy, actually Greg Reyes Sr., and he basically is the VC guy's buddy.
Okay.
And so now they've stacked the board, they got the majority, and they run roughshod.
So, from somebody who's listening, from their perspective, what do you mean if they stack the board? What do you have to lose? I'm again going to play devil's advocate. Great, you're out. You don't have to work. You still have your ownership in the company. They're going to run the company for you. Great.
Well, because they stacked the board, they can keep diluting the shares and of the common shares. and they did do it.
Because, and they did do that.
Yes. And despite our protestations, they would just go ahead and literally dilute you like crazy. Yeah. And all you can do is you can just, you know, you can try protesting it.
Yeah.
But literally, there's nothing much you can hang your hat on legally.
So, interesting. All right. I'm going to take this call live on air, and then we'll continue talking with you. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah. Hi, Rohit. I would like to comment on the topic. This is Sanjay from San Jose.
Welcome to the show, Sanjay. Sapne Salamat.
Yeah, Sapne Salamat. I regret what happened to this gentleman and why. While it seems like it's a system of checks and balances where the directors, they fired the CEO, but in fact, it's a closed loop and it's like a good old boys club. And if you look at all the CEOs, and they're also members of board in other companies.
Right.
And also, what happens is the majority shareholder controls the board. It's not like a democratic kind of shareholder thing. Everyone has one vote. So if one person has a million shares, he can control the board if he wants. So you don't want to offend the majority shareholder there.
It's basically the VC guys control it, and they're all in cahoots, so you can't do much.
Right.
The problem is that all the legal maneuvering can happen behind the scenes. Some of it might be just borderline, you know, legal, but they got the paper to cover it.
Yeah.
So the lesson to be learned is before you go public, just make sure you have a golden parachute.
Well, I think it's a little bit more simple and a little bit more complex than that. So first of all, I got to add that, you know, there's good VCs, there's bad VCs, just like there's good entrepreneurs, there's bad entrepreneurs. And it's also the same people. You'll have good experiences and bad experiences depending upon each particular situation. So I don't think all VCs are bad, and I don't think all entrepreneurs are bad.
I agree with
you. It's really one experience in terms of how things can go south and how badly you can be sort of get nailed on this one. So how to make sure to protect your interests.
Right. Even if you have good intentions, you have to be aware of the politics before stepping into the public arena.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, one thing we have to keep in mind is everybody that's building this company is in there to make money, whether it be the entrepreneur or it be the VC. The entrepreneur has got multiple different motivations in parallel, but money is one of those motivations. For the VC, money is the singular motivation. So at the end of the day, it's going to come back to saying, how can I make the most money out of this investment?
And especially when things go sour in terms of the economy, in 2001, 2002 time frame. A lot of the VC guys were having a tough time raising additional funds, getting any exits. So at that point, they start doing all kinds of unnatural acts.
Yeah. So okay, great. Does that help, Sanjay?
Yeah, and also there are a lot of CEOs that haven't performed and that don't get fired because they have connections.
Yeah, no, it works both ways.
But we were performing all quarters except one.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for your call, Sanjay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so I think we're talking with Ravi and we're talking about a VC story that basically went bad. And you guys did $32 million. You brought in a new CEO and suddenly they started diluting your ownership in the company. And they took large chunks of common ownership and gave this to the new CEO.
And the chairman.
And the chairman.
With accelerations.
Okay. I mean, the silence is because I'm a little nonplussed. Why would a chairman get an acceleration and why would a new CEO?
He's supposed to be overlooking the CEO.
Yes, but we all know how much of an operational or non-operational role that is.
But he was doing the VC guy's bidding, so yeah. That's what is happening.
Interesting. Okay. So now what happens? So you guys basically you realize that this is not going to work out and you decide it's time for you to go sell the company because that's...
No, actually, we were working with the team.
Yeah.
We hoped that, okay, let them bring it to profitability, then everybody wins. It's good for us too.
Yeah.
But basically here we see right in front of our eyes somebody, you know, taking the company and... taking it downwards.
Yeah.
This is just like not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we figured out the game is they're trying to just dilute us completely or do a restart, in which case we'll pretty much end up with nothing. And so we try to bring
interesting. So to spell that out in plain English, so basically, when you're talking about a restart, they're saying, we're going to take the company down to a $5 million valuation, put in $5 million. Everybody basically gets wiped out, cap tables wiped out. And
it's restarted.
Founders are basically wiped out at this point.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And that's what you're speculating, or is that what they were actually...
This is what we are speculating.
Okay, this is speculation. All right.
Based on what we were seeing.
Okay.
So that's when we, we talked to some lawyers and other folks that we could get hold of.
And so this new CEO is now on the board of directors?
No, he's not. Because we controlled Common.
Okay.
And so, despite them wanting to have the CEO, we were not willing to budget.
That's a very unusual or uncommon situation where the CEO is not on the board of directors.
And that's why I said every board meeting was acrimonious.
So who from the operational side was on the board of directors?
Just two founders.
But you're not even operational. You've already been fired. So you're not operational guys anymore. You're outside.
Absolutely.
Wow. And why did they not bring the new CEO onto the board?
They tried, but it wouldn't happen.
Oh, so you wouldn't let that happen.
Why would we let that happen? Because we wanted to protect the common shareholders' interests.
Okay. That's an interesting situation. So you're trying to protect common interest and this guy can only come in as common. So couldn't they create a new class of shares and have him come in as part of that new class of share?
If it were legally possible, I'm sure they would have done it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So CEO's not on the board of directors. You decide it's time to go sell the company and you go out and you solicit somebody and you actually bring in an offer to the table,
right?
Yeah,
we had a term sheet from a publicly traded company.
To acquire the company.
Yes.
And now what happened?
But the lead investor literally put his foot down.
Who's that? Who's the lead investor? Who was the lead investor?
Menlo Ventures.
Okay.
And they used their dissenter rights to torpedo the venture.
Okay.
And it was like just because they wanted to torpedo it.
Why? But their driving motivation is money. Nothing else matters.
That's what we would think, but maybe they were playing a different game.
What other
game? Maybe it was for more money.
Okay. All right.
So they were probably trying to get the company to bleed and, you know, then do a restart. With healthy revenue, you know, steady state revenues coming in.
Okay. And so now what happens?
So the term sheet was pretty good. Pretty soon, all the board meetings are really bad, you know, and focus is going. So the VC guys also then decide, okay, it's time to probably sell the company.
Okay.
Because they didn't want too much of muck.
Okay.
And so they brought in a private company to be the buyer as a counter offer.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. Here's a company, you know, the company that they brought as a suitor was actually US Internetworking, a company that went bankrupt from being $3.1 billion in market cap. Went bankrupt, Bain Capital pumped in like close to $100 million and bought them out and turned them private.
Okay.
So, again, it's something which we were really leery about all the corporate games. We said the sale can happen only if, you know, Common was cashed out.
Okay.
And that's basically what transpired.
So the common got cashed out and everybody else converted, which sounds like not a terrible thing because you guys wanted out, so you were able to cash out. Those guys wanted to stick it out, they stuck it out.
Yeah, so in a way, it's okay. It yeah. turned out, you know, at least we didn't have to
But
go
there's
along.
Still one more twist to the story that I'm waiting for you to get to.
So anyway, so I mean, I would be reasonably happy with because we got most of the monies, 90% of the monies. Yeah. But 10% they hold back for, you know, any misstatements in the sale.
Right.
Process.
So I think for the benefit of my listeners, what happens is when a company gets acquired, the buying entity will typically hold back 10% of what they are paying for this entity and say that we are going to pay this amount at the end of certain period, typically 12, 13 months, something like that,
right.
Which is basically the idea is to say that if you've misrepresented anything in this entire
Material misrepresentations, yeah.
Then they have that money to sort of fall back, which is
right.
Their reserves, if you will.
Right.
And so you had 10% held back, and now what happened to that?
And the guy who managed to be the representative for all of AppShop is, again, the VC guy, Menlo Ventures, Doug Carlyle, takes over the special interests of all the common shareholders and is representing AppShop's interests with USI.
Okay.
While he's also a preferred shareholder in USI.
Okay.
And so now, at the end of the 13th month, just before the 13th month,
yeah.
They pretty much come up with all kinds of claims. USI comes up with all kinds of claims to deplete us of the 10%.
And you don't get those 10%?
No, they pretty much said, oh, the CEO had given a verbal credit memo for services you know, that the customers were unhappy with. How can you go and prove that that's blatantly false
yeah.
unless you go through their you know, financial systems?
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. All right. Phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-5565. We're talking with Ravi Kulasekan, founder, CEO of AppShop. Raised $32 million. He's sharing a story about how things can pan out in the boardroom and how VC stories can actually go south sometimes. What are the gotchas? So, Ravi, quickly, before I wrap up, can you share a couple of nuggets that you've learned from this experience that other entrepreneurs need to watch out for?
Sure. I mean, just to summarize it, you know, whatever it is with the ideas, be passionate about it. Be sure that you really follow through with your dreams. You're the best person to know whether your ideas are good or bad. When you're dealing with venture capital, make sure that you're taking money only if you absolutely have to take in money. And if it's capital intensive, then you have to do it. But if you can do any other startups, go for it. The other thing is arm yourself with a lot more information and typically talk to these entrepreneurs who've had experience with the VCs. A good part of them might be all happy stories, but usually seek out the ones that are the bad stories and talk to them. Most of them will probably gloss over it or be euphemistic about it, saying, oh, this happened, everything's okay. But if you dig a little deeper, I'm sure you'll be able to get a lot of the crucial technical pieces of things that can go wrong in the playbook. Yeah. And that's what you need to watch
okay.
out for.
Great. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi. I was trying to comment on the story that has been the article that you have been discussing at this point.
Yes, caller. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things actually from hearing Ravi's part of story, and I know that entrepreneurs go through this a lot, but I have worked in few startups, and definitely I want to add up my perspective here is, even though I wasn't the CEO or anything here, but again, looking at from the marketing and the other strategic standpoint, it seems like most of my friends who are CEOs of the companies, I mean, they're very much tied up with their VCs. I mean, essentially, if the VC was driving the company, I mean, again, you might be the CEO, but you, again, have the blessings. The money is funded by them. So they have definitely a big stake in the company. They want to work in the best interest of the company. And at times, I mean, there would be a difference in what your thinking is versus what their thinking is at this point. So from Ravi's standpoint, I mean, maybe I have misread it, but again, I think that there was a little bit of misalignment between what Menlo Ventures, I mean, they are a big company over here in the Bay Area. I have a very significant presence there, and I know that Clive, the guys, I mean, they are totally focused on, I mean, they don't want to spend money if they don't get like 1.5 bucks out of it. I mean, it's like they haven't opened up a body shop there just to make some, spend some money there. So, again, it's, I mean, from my standpoint, what I was thinking is, it seems there was a little bit of misalignment. I don't know whether Mr. Ravi would agree to it or not, but it seems that that's one of the reasons why they lost the 10% of it. But again, I think they should definitely be happy to recoup the 90% of their part.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, great. I appreciate your comment. And I think there's definitely not a little bit of misalignment. There was a huge misalignment, but that's part of the valley and that's part of what happens. So thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, so I want to first of all acknowledge some of our volunteers. Ashwin Patel has been working for us and he's been doing a fantastic job. So I really want to appreciate and say thank you, Ashwin. We are, as I mentioned, a non-commercial show. We are just sort of sharing entrepreneurial stories and helping you realize your dreams. And with that thought in mind, we are looking for more volunteers that can help us. So we are looking for folks that can come and help us in various different capacities, from marketing to biz dev to PR to work, to an internship even. And I also wanted to add that we're also working on a couple of startups that are going on, and those startups are also looking for interns. So we are especially looking for engineers, LAMP engineers, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, what have you. So please go ahead and reach out to us at resumes@ruhit.com. It's radio@ruhit.com. That's radio@ROOHIT.com. And I'm going to take one more call before I quickly run away over here. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello.
Yes, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Hi, my friend, Rohit. Thanks for hosting a great show. And I really like hearing your guest. I was in a similar case where I think as a first-time entrepreneur, you believe because, you know, you're investing your time, but then in return you're getting money.
Yeah.
But I think the lesson I learned that you don't trust anybody. You know, you go to your lawyers or you go to your mentors, and you go whatever they tell you.
Well, I appreciate it. You know what, you didn't give us your name, caller. Can you give us your name?
Raj from San Jose.
Okay, Raj, feel free to send me an email, radio@ruhit.com, and we'll see what we can do about maybe perhaps airing your story as well.
Sure.
The whole idea is to share the knowledge. This is a knowledge pool that we've all built up, and we'd like to share this in every which way. Thank you, Ravi. Really appreciative of you having come out. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, I certainly appreciate it. And folks, please keep listening. Please keep telling your friends. Saturdays at noon, KLOK 1170. And we would love to find out how you are using Ruhit. Tell us how you are using Ruhit in your lives. Thank you so much. Sapne Salamat.
If you would like your children to speak in Hindi at home with